Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Okay, but listen. Psalm 149, verses 1 through 9 says this: praise the Lord. Now, the reason why I shout is because there's an exclamation point at the end of that phrase. Praise the Lord. Those of you that are scared of loud church, you better just be scared then, because I love loud. I love loud. Why? Because it shows my excitement for God. I get to speak about something today that is near and dear to my heart, and it's about praising God. I get to speak about something that is so dear to me. You're liable to see me do a little Irish jig or something up here. I don't know. I don't even know how to do one, but I might try it. Okay? Now, I might break a hip, but it'll work. I've got nurses in here that can take care of me. It's all right. But it's but it says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your King. Praise His name with dancing. See, right there it tells me I can do it. I might break out the running man. You never know. But accompanied by a tambourine and a harp. For the Lord delights in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. That He honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to cut some things up. Come on. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of His faithful ones. And it says it once again, praise the Lord. Can we do that right now? Somebody just give Him a shout of praise and give Him praise this morning. God, we worship You. God, we praise You this morning. Today is a day to celebrate. I'm glad a few of you are excited. Listen, there's just something about music. Any of y'all like music? There's something about music. A simple song can bring about so many different emotions at certain times in our lives, right? Today I'm talking about sing your song. And there's different songs that can just transport you. You can hear it, and it'll transport you to way back when. I know about y'all, but I listen to the radio, and there's certain songs that'll take me back to when I was a kid or things like that. Some of you may be the songs from the 60s. The songs from the 60s, like Brenda Lee, I'm sorry, so sorry. Maybe that song, how many of y'all remember that song? Does that bring back some memories for you? You might remember that song. Or maybe the King is what does it for you. Are you lonesome tonight? And I am not going to sing that because I'll talk with you later. Okay, but listen. but those songs will take you back to maybe when you were dating or things like that. Maybe you're from a different era. Maybe it's the 70s that gets you. Maybe you hear the song, I'm leaving on a jet plane. I'm going to change the word so I don't get a copyright strike and all that kind of stuff. And you get all, maybe that song is what gets you going. Or maybe it's, now this is an obscure one, but it made it into the top songs in 1970 or 71. I can't even sing this one. It's not familiar to me. But Jam Up and Jelly Tight. Anybody remember that song? Okay, now y'all telling on yourselves. Uh-huh. We knew what y'all listened to. Jam Up and Jelly Tight by a guy by the name of Tommy Rowe. Maybe that's what you remember. But see, me, I look back to the 80s and 90s. I go back to the 80s and 90s. I know it was sinful music. To be honest with you, when I lived back then, I hated the music. But now I listen to it, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And I sit there, and I listen. Maybe you remember Def Leppard, or you remember maybe Def Leppard or Motley Crue. Yeah, those are the things I was listening to. God, forgive me, please. Just pray for me. I'm a sinner. Or maybe Guns N' Roses. I can't even go there. Nowadays you hear those guys sing, it's like, whoa, sweet child of mine. But listen, even worship courses from the past will take us back. Take us back to sawdust floors, tent revivals, sitting on hard pews, mama slapping your hand with a wooden spoon, telling you, wake up, getting on to you. The hymns from the Redback hymnal. Or maybe you're like me, where you came in the beginning of the days when we started singing Off the Wall. Y'all remember when that started and everybody was like, I ain't singing off no wall. Give me a book. And the people started singing Off the Wall. Well, we got a little bit more off the wall. And maybe you remember the songs like, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Maybe you remember stuff like that, or you remember holy, holy, holy. That was Jesus. I was singing a different song. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. I remember that song. Because that's the kind of songs I listened to when I was growing up in church. I remember laying underneath the pew hearing that sing and seeing Sister Jones up there singing, and my sister singing in the choir, and Brother Jones, Johnny Jones, who pastored my church at Bessemer First Assembly, up there preaching up a storm and shouting and just going at it. Always dressed to the nines. He was just ready to go, and the Spirit of God would fall. All of us have our own personal stylistic preferences, though. But I'm so thankful for a church that's not worried about making sure that you are catered to. You guys give me free reign and freedom to introduce new songs, and I'm so thankful for that. I know sometimes I might introduce a few too many at times, and you got to remember them all. But I'm so thankful that we're not stuck on making sure that I get mine. See, what's important is not the instruments or the style that they play, but the heart and the heart of what we sing with, and that we sing our song to God. There is music, and there is worship, and there is song all around us every single day. And I'm not talking about your radio. I'm not talking about the TV that's playing something. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about every single day. There is music all around us. God created everything in existence. Somebody say everything. He created everything in existence with the purpose of praising Him. There is a continual song of praise that is rising up to Him every single day from all creation. From the trees, to the rocks, to the dirt, to the fish in the sea, to the birds of the air, to the stars in the skies. Every one of them have a song inside of them that is being sung to the Lord. Every one of them was created for His glory and for His purpose. There's a movie that was released in 2007 called August Rush. Anybody remember that movie? I love that. If you have not seen that movie, it is amazing. I love that movie because I'm a music guy. I love music. It's a story of an 11-year-old musical prodigy who overcomes incredible odds and ends up in New York City Central Park. Central Park. He ends up in Central Park. He ends up going to Juilliard School of Music. At 11 years old, he's the kind of kid that is so good, so good at music, he makes me sick, makes me jealous. But he ends up directing an orchestra, and they play his own personal composition original composition called August's Rhapsody. And there's an opening monologue in this that is so appropriate for this message today. The opening monologue says this. It's got wind blowing behind the voice, and you can hear small birds, you can hear all kinds of stuff, and it's got a little bit of music back behind it, and you hear a young 11-year-old voice say, "Listen, can you hear it? The music? I can hear it everywhere. In the wind, in the air, in the light. It's all around us. All you have to do is open yourself up. All you have to do is listen." He pulled from nature sounds and melodies. Now, I know this is a movie and they make it big, you know, but there are people like this that can do that kind of thing. And you hear tones as you want. I remember when I'm getting off track and I need to be careful, but I remember going to an all-state choir. I was in all-state choir for the state of Alabama for school, and we traveled to Auburn University, and we had a concert, and there was a particular person that was in our choir. It was a mixed choir. That he had perfect pitch, what they call perfect pitch. Anybody ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Perfect pitch. It is amazing. Drove me nuts. I tried to develop that kind of thing. It's hard to develop. But he had what they call perfect pitch. And our director, it was a lady that year, she was directing and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, no, something's off. And all of a sudden, she looked up and she realized we were singing in a gym. She looked up and there was, you know, those big gym halogen lights, those giant things. You know what I'm talking about? It created a tone. And she was like, "That's what I'm hearing." She said, "That is so weird, and it's not in tune with what y'all are singing. I don't know what tune that is." And the guy in the front row or close to her that had perfect pitch, he went, "B flat." And she went, "What?" He said, "It's B flat." And she said, "Wait a minute." And she pointed to the piano player and said, hit a B flat. Boom. It was perfectly in pitch with the light. I was like, "God, what?" I had to repent after that day because I had so much envy and jealousy inside of me. But even the lights worship God. There are tones, there are things all around us. All creation was made to worship. God puts something on the inside of you that He intends for you to lift up and to give back to Him every single day. In Psalm 99, it says, "Exalt the Lord, worship Him at His footstool." Psalm 150 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Isaiah 43 says, "The people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise." You were created to worship. You were created to sing your song. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "Sing your song." God is adamant about our worship because He knows the power behind it. He doesn't want us just to sing because He likes music. He's standing up there going, "Hey, that sounds pretty good. Yeah." No, He's not doing that. He knows there's power behind it. He knows there's meaning behind it. He understands the impact of our song because He is the one that put it on the inside of us in the first place. God don't make no junk. And when I say God gave you a song, you may sound like a cat with his tail in the blender when you sing, but God still smiles every single time you worship. He still smiles every single note that you hit, even if it cracks the way that I did during that last song. It doesn't matter. God's still going, "That's my boy." He may not sound great all the time, but he's singing his song. That's what God wants to hear. He just wants to hear the song that he created for you to sing. He's not worried about how it sounds. We as humans are. If the band don't play the right song or they hit the wrong note and all of a sudden, "Well, my worship is done. That ain't even in my notes. I better get back before I get in trouble." While the primary purpose of our worship is to lift Him up, though, He knows, God knows that our worship and the song that he has placed inside of us also impacts us. It impacts who we are. It impacts how we live. If you understand me, say I do. The first thing that our song does, our song changes our attitude. Our song can change our attitude. You know that, right? Have you ever noticed that how things change when you put some music on? Guys, let's just admit it. When Amy came over, when I was getting ready to propose one night, I put music on. She came to my house, my parents' house, and I'd cooked dinner and I did this all kinds of stuff, but I put some music on. I didn't go in there and put on some heavy metal, hard rock kind of music. You know what I did? I went in there and I put on some love songs. Come on. Don't be laughing at me now. I actually put on the Sleepless in Seattle soundtrack. But it changed attitudes. Amy came in, and Amy had had a rough day that day because she drove up from Auburn. She was going to Auburn University at the time. She had had a rough day at school, I want to say, that day. And her attitude, as soon as she came in, just completely changed when she started hearing those songs. Now, I like to think that I had something to do with her changing attitude, but, I mean, there's no telling. I can tell you right now, there's a few times I've changed her attitude, and not for the better. But we're going to go past that because I don't want to get into marriage counseling today. But like I said earlier, music has a way of shaping our emotions and our attitudes. Usually if you're in a horrible mood, all you have to do is put on certain songs and your attitude can change. There's a certain song that I love to hear at Christmas. I can be in the most crotchety, most angry, Scrooge-like atmosphere and in attitude I'm just mad as I can be. And all I've got to hear, I've said this before, but those of you that don't know me, please forgive me. I am the real pastor, okay? But there's a certain song called Blue Christmas. Now, I'm not talking about the Elvis version, though. I like to hear. All I got to hear is the very first words of Porky Pig singing a Blue Christmas. I'll have a blue. And my attitude completely changes. I start laughing and cutting up, and I cannot help but smile. There's something about it. Right now, there's a song that if I were to play it, if Amy or my kids or anybody was in a bad mood, all we'd have to do is play this newest song from the Jonas Brothers about Waffle House. And all this, I don't even know how it goes. I can't even remember how it goes right now. I was going to listen to it before service so I could sing a little bit, but then I decided not to. I wanted to spare you from that. But right now, if that came on, Amy's attitude would completely change. She would start smiling. She would be bebopping around. She'd be having a good old time. Stupid Jonas Brothers. But no, I'm kidding. Listen, you will not always feel like worshiping. Can I give you some advice? Worship anyway. You won't feel like listening to do it again. Or here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. You may not feel like listening to that. You want to hear, here I'm going to kill my kids. Here I'm going to slap my husband. Or whatever it is that's going on in your life. You may be in that kind of mood. But I guarantee you, if you go ahead and worship anyway, your attitude will change. You hear me say this all the time around here. The first thing we have to remember is that worship isn't about us. Worship's not about us getting ours. It's not about me making sure that I hear the right songs or hear the right chords or singing the right words. Worship is designed as a time for us to tell God how much we love him and tell him how much he's done for us or tell people how much he's done for us. But in turn, when we worship anyway, when we don't feel like worshiping, when we worship on our highs and on mountaintops, or if somebody's got their foot on our neck, if we just still decide to worship, in turn, God comes down and His mere presence changes us. It changes the way that we think, the way that we feel. When God walks into the room, He brings with Him joy. He brings with Him peace. He brings with Him patience. He brings with Him kindness. He brings with Him healing. He brings with Him love. He brings with Him freedom. When we choose to worship in spite of our feelings, we are reminding our flesh it is not in charge. This is not supposed to be in charge. Our spirit is supposed to be in charge. His spirit is supposed to be in charge. Hebrews 13:5, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance in His name. Listen, a sacrifice is not easy. Sacrifice is hard. Sacrifice is bloody. Sacrifice is painful. But sacrifice is also necessary at times. Sometimes we've got to put what we want aside, what our flesh wants aside, and say, God, even though I'm in pain, I worship You. Even though my family feels like it's falling apart, I still trust You. Even though my doctor has told me one thing, I believe the report that You have given me. And it will change your attitude. We can learn from David in Psalm 40 where he is running from Saul during this time. And it says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. The problem is we don't wait patiently for God. We say, God, You got to change something. And when it don't change in the next 5 minutes, we go, well, God has forsaken me. Forget worshiping Him today. I'm sorry, am I yelling a little bit? I told you, y'all going to get it today. I don't mean to beat up on the choir that's sitting in front of me. But I want you to grasp this today. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. See, listen to this in verse 2. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. David didn't feel like worshiping. He was in despair. He felt like he was in the mud and in the mire and in the muck. He felt like he was stuck where he was, like he was being chased down. He was going to be killed. But he still said, He lifted me. When I worshiped Him, He lifted me. When I called on Him, He picked me up. In verse 3, He has given me a new song to sing. Let me tell you something. If you feel like you haven't got a song in you, then you need to listen a little closer, because even in His lowest times, God still gave him a new song. David sat out in the fields and wrote song upon song upon song upon song. He was a psalmist. We all seen that little picture of him sitting on the rock with sheep all around him playing his harp. We've seen all that. But I got news for you. There are times where he didn't feel like picking up that harp. He didn't feel like singing a song. And he couldn't even remember what he used to sing. But when he called to God, God put in him a new song. Listen, when you feel like you're at the end of your rope and you ain't got another note in you, you ain't got another prayer in you, you ain't got another song in you, you need to listen real close, because that's when God usually reveals the most beautiful melody that you'll ever hear. And it's usually surrounded by the words that say, I love you. I care for you. You've got to worship when you don't feel like it. He's given me a new song. Use your song as a weapon against those things that come against you. You don't have to just make up stuff to sing. Now, there's a lot of times I'll ride in the car with Amy, and I'll just be bebopping along, and I'll be in a good mood, and I'll be just like, Amy, you're so beautiful. You're so awesome and so great. And you got a great husband.
And I'll just make up a song as I go. You ain't got to do that all the time. You ain't got to make up a song to God. God, I love you. You're so worthy. And I do that a lot. But when you can't think of something, go back to songs. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. I believe you're going to do it again. Come on. Call on those songs and use them as a weapon. As we fight, we can't just do it with the weapon in our hands. We need a song in our hearts and on our lips. I told you I was going back to this verse, Psalm 149, 6. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands. You notice he mentioned praise first. He didn't mention the sword first. Your first line of weaponry is this, not this. Your first offense is right here on your lips. Listen, if you're whatever your enemy is at the time, it could be depression. And you could say it could be depression. Start singing a song. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. Because that's what he does. Maybe your enemy at this moment is sickness. You've got a sickness in your body. You know what? You need to do weapon with your mouth. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. Maybe yours is the oppression from the enemy. Or maybe a bad report from someone. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Anybody remember that one? Come on. I'm pulling some old ones out today, y'all. I figured y'all like that. Whatever your enemy is, worry, anxiety, loneliness, God has a song inside of you for it. There's a great story about coupling your praise with your battle. It's a story about the USS New Orleans, and I don't even know what time it is. I may have to cut early today or something. I don't know. But there's a story about the USS New Orleans during World War II. The USS New Orleans was stationed or was in dock at Pearl Harbor. And when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they were stuck. And during the assault, there was Lieutenant Howell M. Forgy. I hope I'm saying that right. Forgy. He was a chaplain aboard the USS New Orleans. And he shouted a phrase to encourage the men aboard to keep up the fight. He simply shouted this, "Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition." Some of y'all will catch that in a minute. Praise the Lord while you're fighting. Praise the Lord while it looks dark. Praise the Lord and keep passing the ammunition. Praise the Lord. And that song, that phrase ended up becoming a battle cry and ended up being turned into a popular song at the time. You can go back and listen to it right now. Why? Because it so encouraged the men that they kept fighting and kept fighting. And the men from the U.S., and I'll say this, the USS New Orleans and both Lieutenant Forgy and the New Orleans would survive the attacks from the war, the entire war, and in the middle of your battle, sing your song. Let the presence of God change your attitude. Those men on that ship could have said, "Well, this is it. They've surprised us. We're done for." But he kept singing, "Praise God, praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and keep fighting." And it changed their attitudes, and they kept fighting. Your song can change your attitude, but it can also change the atmosphere. I'd love to be able to control the weather. I can tell you that right now. I can tell you right now, I would love to make it shine when I wanted to, rain when I wanted it to, snow when I wanted it to. There would never be another Monday that I am off. My off day is usually on Mondays. There would never be another Monday that I would not be able to go fishing. Because I would be on that water. I'd walk outside, see that rain trying to come up. Not today. And it gone. I would love for that to be able to be the case. But I got news for you. We have the ability in the spiritual realm to do this. You have the ability to change your atmosphere with your worship. The Bible tells us that Satan's out to get us, right? He's out to get us. First Peter. First Peter says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan is concocting and scheming, and he's making plans to make us fail and stumble as we speak. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not taking a day off. He's not taking it easy on you. He is out to get us. Yes. And too many of us sit inside of our homes, biting our fingernails, going, oh, what's he going to do to me today? Listen, it's time for us to change the atmosphere around us, because when we sing out God's praises in the middle of the battle, it changes everything. Our worship has the power to drive our enemy away. It's through your worship that you can make things that you battle run and hide. I just talked about it. Depression, fear, anxiety, sickness, all those things. You start singing the word of God over your life. They cannot stand to be in God's presence. And God's word says that he abides, or he lives in our worship. I will abide in them. He lives inside of our worship. David knew this when he would sing, and he used it to help Saul in 1 Samuel 16, where it says, and whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit would go away. When the worship came, the enemy left. In the middle of your battle, you start worshiping, and I guarantee your enemy's going to leave. Don't just sit there and let the devil beat up on you. Fight back with worship. As you worship, you bind the enemy in chains of praise, and you restrict his influence over you with the song that you sing. If you're with me, say, I am. One more thing that our song does is our song can bring freedom. Somebody say freedom. There is no better way to show this than the story of Paul and Silas. Found in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 40. I'm not going to read those verses because I don't want to keep you here all day. But I'm going to give you the PAV. This is the Pastor Aaron version. Basically, what it is, that Paul and Silas were preaching in God's name and in Jesus' name. And they were taken and they were thrown into prison. They were beaten and put in stocks and shackles so badly that their arms would be stretched and their legs would be stretched almost out of socket. They were hungry, they were tired, they were broken, they were hurting, and most importantly, they were imprisoned for no reason. But what did they decide to do? One word. Worship. They didn't feel like it. As soon as they started worshiping, their attitudes changed. It wasn't a great atmosphere to praise God in, but as soon as they started worshiping, God entered the room. It says in Acts 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Listen, it goes to show you that no matter what you're going through, you can still praise God in the middle of it. No matter what you're going through, you can still praise God in the middle of it. And it also goes to show you that your worship is not just to set you free either. You know, person next to you may need to hear somebody else worshiping God in order to get their worship on and to be set free from whatever it is that's oppressing them. Because if you notice in the scripture, it says that not only their chains fell off, but the chains of every other prisoner in jail. The ones that were singing with them, the ones that were praising God with them, the ones that were also cursing them and telling them to shut up. Their chains fell off, the doors came open, and every single one of them were set free. Your praise is powerful enough to set yourself and others free. Listen, if you take away nothing else, and I'm closing right here, if you would stand with me. If you take away nothing else from this day, I want you to take this. God has planted a song inside of you. You are His masterpiece. You are who you are because God made you who you are. He has put the desire in your heart to grow and to become more like Him. He has put that knowledge and that wisdom inside of you that you have. You are His masterpiece. He took time to shape every hair on your head. He took time to give you that look on your face. He took time to even look down and go, boogie, and give you a belly button. He did all of that. And He created a song that is planted inside of you that some of us have lost. Because we're waiting for a worship leader to draw it out of us. But sometimes you've got to be your own worship leader. Sometimes you've got to be your own instrument. Don't wait on someone to encourage you to worship. If you're waiting on someone, an external source, to give you the strength, you're neglecting the strongest spirit that you've got, the strongest unction that you've got on the inside of you. God planted it in you, not around you. Yes, we need encouragement from other people. But it's a whole lot easier to start a fire with something that's already burning. Let God set you on fire here. Let Him set you on fire here with a song. Don't be afraid to sing your song today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, maybe God is speaking to you about your situation, and you felt beat down, you felt broken, you felt like you can't even pick your head up off the pillow in the mornings because you're so broken in your heart and in your mind and in your body that you say, I can't stand it anymore. Maybe you're online watching right now and you're sitting there feeling that same way. Let me tell you something. Sing your song anyway. Sing your song anyway. If that's you today and you say, you know what, I need to sing my song again. I have lost my song. If that's you, and you want to sing your song with your worship, right now all I ask you to do is raise your hand and say, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You need a new song today. You need a new song today. Maybe that's what it is. You just need a new song. It's been so long since you've sang His worship and sang His praise that you can't even remember the songs He used to sing anymore. Right now, I'm going to ask every person in this room to do this for me. I want you to lift up both hands. And I'm going to ask you to say, God, give me a new song today. Give me a new song to sing. Give me a new song from You that will sustain me, that will encourage me, and that will strengthen me. Right now, fill me anew. Fill me fresh. In Jesus' name. Now, right now, just keep your hands raised and keep praising Him. Keep praising him right now. God, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. We praise you today, God. God, we set aside schedules. We set aside plans. We set aside our desires. And we ask you to come into this room and fill people anew and afresh with songs of renewal, songs of fresh anointing, songs of fresh power. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those people that just raise their hands. Church, you don't know who raised your hands, but right now I want you to start praying for them right now. You don't know who raised hands, but I want you to start praying for them right now. God, in the name of Jesus, let your spirit pour over those that raise their hands. Whoever they are, whatever they've gone through, whatever the situation is that they are fighting right now, Lord, help them to remember that their worship changes their attitude, that their worship will change the atmosphere, and that their worship will bring freedom once and for all. In Jesus' name. But we have to be our own worship leader, God. We have to sing our song. And today, Lord, we sing our song with not only words, but with our actions. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you be